Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Watch What Crappens ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the app today.
Even the Rich is a podcast from Wondery that tells the jaw-dropping stories about the tumultuous lives of the world's elite. From the greatest family dynasties to pop culture superstars.
Listen to Even the Rich on Amazon Music or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast for all that crap we love to talk about on Ye Olde Brawls. Hi everyone, it's me, Ronnie, and the gorgeous, talented Ben Mandelker is over there. Hello, Ben.
Hi, Ronnie, how are you?
So good, babes. How are you doing?
Doing great, thanks. Doing great. Just enjoying this week kicking off, you know?
Oh, all my usual goodness. Things. Yes, it is nice to be back home in my underwear doing a recap. This recap will be Real Housewives Ultimate Girls Trip, Season 3, Thailand, Episode 4. And it's called Dangerous Games. Terrifying.
Yeah, games. Dangerous. Terrifying. Very scary games.
We had a great time in Seattle and San Francisco this past weekend. Thank you to all you crazies for coming out and making us feel so good. It was great to meet you. It was great to perform for you, talk to you, party with you, etc. We both came home fucking exhausted, but with smiles on our faces for sure. The tour continues, so you guys want to come, go check watchwhatcrappens.com for your city. We have a couple of weeks here at home, and then we will be going in April 21st to Toronto. That one's almost sold out, so please go get your tickets. Then we have the 22nd in Philly at the Fillmore. Fillmore in Philly, okay? And then after that, in May, we'll be in New York City, Washington, D.C., and then the rest of these we close out in June. It's a crazy June. San Diego, St. Paul, Chicago, Columbus, Boston, and Manchetucket at Foxwoods Casino. So go get your tickets at watchwhatcrappens.com. That's also where you will find links to our Patreon. You can get our bonus episodes, our Crappens on Demand videos. This week's bonus is super fun. It is just us judging people in the airport waiting for a plane. Great times. Those are called Airport Snaps episodes. So go check that out.
This is a spicy little episode. A little if I remember correctly, there's a lot of hot takes on people around us.
And today is Girls Trip. So let's get into it, shall we, Bean?
Let's do it.
A little we open up machine. With.
That's right. Well, you know, Bean's appropriate because the first thing we see is Leah grabbing some coffee in the morning. This show is a very detailed documentation of what these women are doing every minute of the day. I still think the show could be like a regular 1 hour. Not every episode has to be supersized.
I'm not into supersized episodes either, and not just because I'm lazy. I think it just makes a tighter show. Like, you guys don't understand what the last few years have done to us. Can anyone sit through a movie? I've been watching the John Wick trilogy like it's a 10-part Netflix series. Like, I watch it for 1 hour, and then I press stop, and I go to bed. Because that is what I'm programmed to do. I'm not going to sit here for an hour and a half, you guys. It's not normal. We're programmed now for shit to be short.
Yeah, it's like I don't need to watch like an elephant volleyball type game. I don't need to have a whole sequence of women moaning while they get their massages getting done. Like, it's just like that. It's not an interesting or funny observation to be like, oh look, when they moan, it sounds sexual. Like, I don't know. I just am like, we could trim some fat on these shows a little bit. We'll just trim it because the stuff that when it's good, it's really good. But let's just make a tight episode. We don't need why are we so supersized?
Good, shorter,
why?
Shorter. I need it shorter. So then he goes, and also Leah's coffee. We know that Leah drinks coffee. Okay. Every single episode we have to get a close up of Leah getting coffee. Every episode. Okay. It never stops.
Yeah.
So anyway, Pepsi's being adorable, going to say hi to everybody, and he goes to Alexia's room and he's like, hello ladies, today is Porsche day, we're doing Thai barbecue, we call that Moonata. And he said, this is Paul. And Alexi is like, paw? And he goes, yes. She's like, oh my God. She's like, I thought you were saying paw like a hand. I thought that's what you were saying, like paw like a hand. And I was going to be like, you know what? I'm sick. I don't need paws.
Yeah. And then Portia and Giselle are walking around, and Portia's asking Giselle if she went skinny dipping the night before. And, you know, Portia's like,
yeah, because, you know, like the white girls on the show, they just let their titties out right on camera. They just let them all out.
Giselle's like, no, not me.
Yeah, she goes, no, not me. I'm a black girl. And Portia's like, well, you're a white black girl. And she's like, hey. She's like, you're Creole. Why are you mad? So then we go to Leah and Candace getting ready together. And Candace is like, are you feeling better today? Just about being here. And she's like, I mean, I am. I know that, like, all these years Giselle's been on TV, like, she's done way worse than sitting at a table and saying she's bored. I mean, it's actually comical, and I really think I handled it well on the boat, so.
Candace is like, yes, you did. Don't let them see you walk away upset. That's the bully's greatest satisfaction. Candace fully just allying with Leah because supporting Leah solely so that way she can have an ally when she goes up against Portia later on. And they totally call it out.
Yeah. So Leah borrows a tweezer to get a hair out of her chin. And Candace is so exhausted from all of the drama. And then we see a clip of, I thought we were going to have fun on the boat today. And Portia saying, bitch, you said fuck off. Now you want to have fun? And then Heather screaming, I don't owe you bullshit, Whitney. Can I have your autograph just in case you become more famous than me one day? That would be great.
Yeah. And Candace is like, the only difference between Housewives and a soap opera is that they're reading from a script. That's the only difference. And there's the same drama and foolishness and cussing, except our lives are real, but we don't get Emmys. We deserve an Emmy. I would actually argue they do deserve an Emmy. But then we then watch like a jokey Days of Our Wives intro where it's like very soapy and they're all sort of like doing little twirling around. And you know, a good example of an area where we can trim some fat. Just like, you know, I enjoyed it, but we can trim it away.
Hey, guys, guess who else has said that Real Housewives are the ultimate soap operas? Literally everybody. Literally everybody, okay? Cut down.
For 17 years.
Yes, cut down. Cut the fat. Cut the fat, guys.
Cut the fat. Cut the fat. Cut the fat. So now we're at Marisol and Alexi are going to the breakfast table. And people are sitting down and Heather's like, Leah, I saw your text and I am feeling good to answer your question. So sorry you have the runs. If I could just like capture a small vial of that and sell it on eBay, that would make me so happy. I'm such a fan of your work, all of it, including your diarrhea.
And Marisol's like, what runs? Who's running? Is one of Alexia's exes here? And Heather's like, no, the runs. It's a tummy thing. And Leah's like, yeah, I think it's also because I'm having my monthly friend. And Marisol's like, oh, God, that bitch. I'm so glad I don't have to see her anymore.
So Heather's, Heather's asking where's Leah at with everyone? And she's like, I'm fine. And Alexa's like, oh, well, you know, it was just like the moment. Like the heaviest conversations going on right now are between you and Whitney, Heather. So like, you know, and that may not even be resolved. And Heather's like, guys, don't worry about me. I can compartmentalize anything. Okay. Just put it in a tiny little box and I just smash it and hide it away and never have to talk about it ever again, unless I have to write a book about it.
Yeah, you know, but Whitney admitted it, and, you know, she was just trying to play with the big dogs. And I still don't know what she said exactly, that I wrote the book for the show, and I'm still Mormon, but pretending to leave Mormonism. I mean, what does it even mean, guys? And Leah's like, oh, she didn't say it like that. She just basically told me to, like, watch out for you. And Leah's like, obviously it's ridiculous. And Heather says, well, watch me then. I'm about to hurt my cousin. Just you wait. If this is who you are, then we are no longer friends. What you are doing is destructive, false, and irreparable.
I mean, Whitney kind of does have a point because, like, Jen Shaw is literally a criminal. And Heather's like, but I have to support her. I'm ride or die. And now she's like, oh, Whitney brought up this thing on camera, which is what we're all doing.
Yeah, but and Whitney it's irreparable. Is accusing her of being a fake not Mormon anymore.
Yeah.
Which I guess is worse. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, who knows?
I guess in the scheme of things, we could argue about it. But I'm already sick of this fight.
Yeah, it's not worth it.
Because we sat through this fight for a whole fucking season that went nowhere. And also the other cast members on this show, Giselle and what's-her-buns, Candace, we sat through their fight the whole season. Okay? Come on, guys. Yeah. Come on. Trim the fat. Trim it.
So Giselle and Portia come to the table. There's going to be some massages. And Portia's like, if you lay, they will come. And she had, and they're all like giggling about that. And Portia had this whole plan for an excursion, but it's raining today. So they're going to just do massages and games, and they're going to relax and have team building afterwards. And it's going to be so much fun. And they're going to have a great day in Thailand. Okay.
Fresh waff, fresh waff, fresh waff. Hello. Whitney, hi, it's me, Lisa. Lisa Barlow, CEO of Fresh Wolf and Vita Tequila. You look so pretty.
Lisa Barlow, so excited to be tangentially connected to this, like, mashup show. So she's like, hey, Whitney, how are you? She's like, hi, Lisa, you look so pretty. You look wonderful. Hey, do you need someone to, like, maybe fix your hair? I could fly out there right now. If you need me on the show, I could be there. I could be there any second. Hey.
Meanwhile, Heather and Portia are talking about all of this. And Heather's like, well, I have to do my spirit house grateful thing because maybe that'll change the tide. And Portia goes, well, did you guys talk? Because I know Giselle stayed up. And Heather's like, we had nothing to talk about. So when we cut back to Lisa, she's like, how's it going, Whitney? Like, well, obviously, the Heather stuff keeps coming up because it doesn't make any sense. Heather only explains that I'm lying and then doing everything for her show. And then that's her excuse about it.
Wait, what?
Wait. What? That's crazy. Wow, someone needs to set the record straight. If you want, I'll fly out there and be your, by your side. Only if you want it. I'm not saying I already bought the ticket. I'm not saying I'm outside of Villa I. But if you need me there, I will be there.
And then what kept triggering me? So, like, I got called out on the fact that, wait, I don't get it. You're writing a book about leaving the Mormon church, but wait, you're still Mormon. So then that hurt her, and then she leaned into that hand. She got, she learned, leaned into that heart,
she's,
and she got everyone mad.
Oh, so she's hurt. Okay, so she's hurt because she got caught in a lie. She's more mad that people know she's a liar, and it's being exposed. There, I said it.
Heather Gay exposed. Heather Gay is exposed. Expose that to everybody. You should go around exposing the fact that Heather just got exposed, and also ask if anybody has dry cuticles because Fresh Wolf is really good for that.
Well, when I finally realized after sitting in all that shit, it's because Heather recommended me to the show, and I didn't realize how much of a loyalty I gave that. And so I came into this building a relationship on a mutual disdain for you and other people, and then through that process, we created a real bond.
Yeah, what I failed to realize is I don't owe her this blind loyalty. I may have been Heather's mop. I don't want to be a mop anymore. You're a mop? The fuck are you talking about? Mops clean up messes. You make messes, okay? You just go around lighting shit on fire all the time and saying untrue things. And you have since the second you got on here, and so has Heather, okay? You are not a mop. You are a fire starter. You are Drew Barrymore in her star-making film role, ma'am.
And that's not a complaint. You know, I appreciate you starting the fires. But it's just, Whitney's logic is always so hilarious. Season after season, she's always, her whole complaint is always like, oh, I did terrible things, but it's because someone told me to do it. And so I did it. And I'm mad at them because they told me to do it. She's like, yeah, Heather said, come on the show and let's go after Lisa Barlow. So I went after a woman without even using any independent thought about like whether it would be hurtful to that person or maybe this person's a nice person. And I'm mad at Heather because she told me to do that. Yeah. It's like, well, you could have just not done that. Yeah. You could have, it's like what she said. She pulled out the pin of the grenade and he gave me the grenade. It's like, why'd you take the grenade? Why don't you throw it? Why don't you like
throw the grenade?
She always does that.
Throw the grenade. So then we cut back to Portia and Heather, and Portia's telling her, you know, you're a very spiritual woman, right? You talk about religion all the time, so you can offer her grace, your blood. Just table this, move on. You know, she's 15 years in and you're just trying to get your name off the roll. And how far are you in trying to do that? Like how far are you? And Heather goes, oh, yeah, I've never tried to get my name off the roll. She goes, what? She goes, it means nothing. It's just a name on paper. I mean, so is marriage.
She is Porsche's like, I mean, what is paper even? It's just a concept. It's an artificial construct. What is writing? That's just images scrawling that we've assigned meaning to, but it really is nothing.
That said, I don't know that many people care that their name are on the rolls. You know what I mean? Like, I don't.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Whitney needs to shut the hell up about it, personally. But
I think that Whitney is nailing Heather to a cross over a technicality. But that being said, Heather is being slippery with the truth because she's like, I'm trying to get it off. Although when they show the flashback, she never says, I have applied. She says, I'm just like new to this experience. But either way, the Salt Lake City is good for some slippery truths. I mean, these women on Salt Lake City, they tell half-truths like no other franchise.
Well, Portia says, but I thought yesterday you said you were getting your name removed off the roll. And then we cut to the clip and Heather says, eventually I'm getting my name off the roll. And then it goes, boom, like that proves something. Hmm. And then they're saying, how long have you not identified as a Mormon? 15 years, Whitney? And you're just getting your name off. How dare you? But I think what Heather's really annoyed with is that Whitney showed up with Heather's storyline. I mean, Whitney's storyline last year, or her first 2 years, was, oh, yeah, I cheated with this guy who had a wife and a family. And so then I didn't want to be Mormon anymore. And I got married to him and I have a stripper pool. So fuck the Mormon church. And then this year she came in like, I really need a true divorce with the Mormon church, which is Heather's storyline. So, like, I think Heather's mad that Whitney stole her storyline.
Yeah, that's a good theory. So, Portia's basically like,
you know what the truth is? You're not a bad liar. You're not a bad Mormon. You're a bad liar.
So then Lisa's still talking on the phone. She's like, you know what? The Heather stuff has so many holes because she lies. And she's always trying to put a narrative on you. And that's why I'm always like, don't narrate me. Don't narrate me. It's like my catchphrase. It hasn't quite like caught on yet, but I have made several t-shirts. So if you want to buy one, I'll just give it to you for free. Don't narrate me.
No, she's not a good friend to you. She's not a good friend to me. Exactly. And you've had a crazy day. I've had a crazy day. It was a hard day. You would have clarity, if, you know, you'd have some clarity.
Yeah, I would have some more clarity if I would just say it.
Yeah, just keep saying the truth, my little fresh wolf. Keep saying the truth.
Listen, you can't have Heather tell you how to feel.
Yeah, I can't have Heather tell me how to feel.
You are an independent person.
I'm an independent person.
You love Lisa Barlow.
I love Lisa Barlow.
I just stopped for no reason. Sorry about that.
Sorry about that, click.
So then it's game time, and Portia is getting more KFC sent in. And at what point does it become offensive that you would rather eat fast food than the thing that the 10 fucking chefs are cooking for you? You know what I mean? Go eat your food.
Yeah.
The caterers working their butts off. And so Leah's
KFC
like,
is not even that good. I mean, they're just like, it's just, I just feel like you could do better.
I don't know how it is in different countries because, you know, how they say everything's better in other countries. Like McDonald's in Canada. We had poutine. I mean, that was lovely. It's a very lovely experience.
And Thailand can make some good fried chicken. So, you know, maybe like Thailand KFC is like really, really good. But I'm just saying like American KFC, I find it to be a little soggy. There, I said it.
So Leah does her diary room session. And it's one of those that they're doing themselves, I guess, because she probably never hears, Leah, please come to the diary room. Because, like, they don't want to see her either. So she has to go to the self-tape one. And she's like, am I having the best time? No. Does it feel like a healthy environment? No. Like, people are following each other and trying to stay on each other's good side so they don't, like, say things that, like, maybe they feel. And I'm not following anybody because I don't follow people. I'd rather be alone than follow people. That's for sure. I'm into equal friendships. Everyone should have the same kind of jogging pants. That's it.
Wow. Congratulations, Leah. You finally made it to 1994. What's next? Like, guys, I'm going to a whole concert. Like, she is literally speaking like all of my friends in high school.
I know.
Like, I'm not a follower.
She's going to buy herself chocolates for Valentine's Day one day and throw a fucking parade for herself for coming up with that, you know? So she turns off the camera and it was boring. So then it's massage time.
Yeah, massages. They go out to the tables, etc. And they start getting they started getting ready for massages. Portia, they're under like blankets, and Portia turns to her masseuse and is like,
I want to be naked.
Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to yell that. I just want to take off my clothes.
Which I love that because I've totally done that just in random moments where I just like yell. I'm like, no, that was not intended to be a yell. It just came out as a yell.
I have to say, I've literally never said I want to be naked. Never. In my entire fucking life, I don't think. So then they're playing porn music because they get real deep into that Thai massage, you know. So they're playing like... And yeah. Giselle's like, so Thai people want to massage your vagina.
Portia's like, they were massaging your vagina? And Giselle's like, they were trying to wash. She's like,
well, I want my money back because no one tried to touch my vagina.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a crappin'.
Scammers are best known for living the high life, globetrotting on private jets, dining at five-star restaurants, and driving six-figure sports cars. That is, until their house of cards collapses and they're forced to trade it all in for handcuffs and an orange jumpsuit. Scamfluencers is a podcast from Wondery, hosted by Sarah Haggy and Saatchi Kohl, that tells the unbelievable true stories behind some of the world's most infamous scams, swindlers, and con artists. Scamfluencers has covered jaw-dropping scandals, from Ponzi schemes to a fake Saudi prince to a sexual predator masquerading as a wholesome yoga guru. These scammers cost their victims hundreds of millions of dollars and immeasurable emotional anguish. So how does our culture allow them to thrive? Each story on Scamfluencers will take you along the twists and turns, the impact on victims, and what's left when the facade falls away. Follow Scamfluencers wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free on the Amazon Music or Wondery app.
It's commercial. So then every time they touch Giselle, she's like, cha-cha, cha-cha-cha-cha, ca-ca-ca-ca, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-cha-cha-cha.
Giselle sounds like a dying bird, a bird who died of following other birds, stupid follower bird.
So then we go to Alexia, Heather, and Mary. And Alexia's like, did you get relaxed? Because I couldn't, because everyone's so loud with the cha-cha-chas, okay? I need it to be dark. I want it to be dark and quiet when I get a massage.
Yeah. And then they're talking about doing the spiritual offerings, the little house, the spirit house. And Heather hasn't been doing it, but she's going to do it today. And Marisol's like, well, I offered something. Well, it was more of like a trade, sort of like a takesy-backsies. And we see that, like, the day before, she, like, offered up her booze. She's like, don't have too much spirits. It's 74 proof. And then Alexia goes, that was beautiful, bro. That was like really a beautiful offering, you know? And she's like, yeah, well, you know what? I think I want it back. Okay, I'm going to take this back.
Yeah, she went and stole it back. It's like, we're going to have a curse for the rest of the day. Well, there are such a thing as takesies, backsies spirits in Thailand, all right? I can't do without a prop.
Sure, the spirit
I can do without
that.
The alcohol, but I need the prop.
Spirit was probably so excited. The spirit's like, I'm so sick of being offered like a flower. I don't want flowers or like little necklaces or beautiful jewelry. I just want some booze.
I'm literally a spirit.
Literally a spirit.
Heather and Giselle are inside, and Heather's like, oh my God, my mood is so much better getting out of that heat. So did you talk to the girls today? And so they talk about their daughters. And Giselle, well, it sounds like they're going to talk to their daughters, right? Giselle goes, you know, let's check in with Jen Shah. Call her.
Yeah.
I want to have a phone call on television with Jen Shah, where I call her out on all of her bullshit. It's like, jeez, Giselle.
And Heather's like, okay, well, great. This is, I guess, if this is what gets me in with the big dogs, gets me in with the alphas, I'll do it. I mean, it's midnight in Utah, but like, let's just give it a try. So Heather actually tries to FaceTime Jen. And Giselle looked nervous. I don't know if you picked up on this, but I felt like Giselle was like, oh my God, this might be happening. We might be talking to Jen Shah. I'm going to get an exclusive with Jen Shah.
She says, did I call Jen a criminal? I did. She's going to be lighting me up on Twitter. Fuck you, Giselle. I thought you were my girl, Giselle. Did they let you have Twitter in jail? So it just rings and rings and goes to voicemail. It's like, hi, you reached the voicemail of Jen Shah. What about what I'm going through?
What about my voicemail? What about the voicemail? I want to leave you. What about that one?
So then Giselle's like, well, everyone knows I'm super sleuth. I would ask her more questions than Homeland Security. So then we got a Portia by the
I do
pool,
believe that.
Checking on her food and talking. Just everybody's just kind of relaxing. They're talking about the barbecue that's coming later.
yeah, there's going to be a barbecue, and she welcomes them. She's like, actually, the barbecue is now. And she's like, welcome to barbecue. Everyone's going to be cooking their own food. And so Candace doesn't like this. She's like, the word barbecue entails the food is barbecued. It's cooked before I get there. I'm like, well, if the word barbecue entails that you'll be, that the food is barbecued, then we wouldn't have a word called barbecued, because that implies that there's a barbecue
also
action.
It shows you how much Candace helps at a barbecue. It's like,
I know, seriously.
When I go to a barbecue, things are cooked. Did you hear that?
Yeah, it sounded bubbly, right?
I'm getting my, oh God, oh Jesus, oh God. I'm sorry, I hurt my back again. Ow, oh geez. And it was really hurting.
Oh geez.
So I put this Home Medics thing on it. God, listen to that thing. It's like it's like getting construction work done on your back. Hold on, I'm trying to turn it off. Oh, God, even that little bit helped. It was like getting punched by tiny, strong people. God, that was
that
good.
Sounds great to me.
That was good. Thanks, Home Medics.
Perfect for this massage.
Hashtag not an ad.
Do you have a Theragun? Is that what that is, basically?
Yeah, it's a Theragun. I think Home Medics makes the Theragun, right?
Well, maybe. Maybe they do. But by the way, Candace is not alone in being upset. They have to cook their own stuff. Alexa's like, oh, well, you know, it's like too much work. I'm not going to do it. And Pepsi's like, oh, this is Thai style, not Miami style.
And Leah's like, well, I don't mind cooking. It's just like all of this has been soaked in pork and I can't eat pork because I was Jewish for a storyline last year. So thanks a lot, Portia.
So then Portia and Candace are talking about oysters, even though it looks like they're looking at mussels, but they're talking about oysters and the types that they like and don't like. And they're kind of like having a nice moment. And Candace tells us, she goes, for me, Atlanta was a group of black women who are going to show black women in a light that we've never, that have never been seen before. And I watched Portia and I always thought that she was going to be someone I'd get along with. So I came to this trip willing to say, hey, let's shock everyone. I guess implying that, like, hey, we're going to get along. It's going to totally be great. LOL.
Right. But I also like that they were intercutting this with them talking about how the oysters look like vaginas. Candace is like, I always thought Atlanta showed the classy women. And then it's like, you can keep your fish labia. Thank you.
So Alexia and Marisol are the only ones actually not participating in the barbecue. They're not like cooking their own stuff. And it just cuts to Marisol going, do you have any mayonnaise in this country? Any sour cream? Mm. I'm
like, and Candace is like, okay, Portia, I want to talk about something that's been on my mind.
And she's folded tears.
Immediate tears.
And she has folded a cone of a triangle. Like, it looks like a paper airplane. And she has,
no, it looks, she's like, this could be a, it looks like an earwax. What do you call those? Where you make a funnel thing and then you light the end on fire and then the smoke sucks out your earwax. It's like one of those things.
It is. This is not a rectangle. This is not even like a proper. This is an aerodynamic, not NASA engineered triangle for this scene.
So Portia's like, one thing about Candace, there will be no tear left behind. Get it. Get that tear. It will not drop past her cheek. Ever. So Candace is like, most dramatic tear wiping ever with this like baseball bat shaped thing.
It's like a spaceship under her eyeball. And she's like, everyone always says, and I'm not going to cry about it. But everyone always says, well, it's the physical altercation with Monique. And the fight itself was not what tears me apart. It was everything that happened in the aftermath. I started to see in the press all these stories that were false and that were skewed in her favor. And I was ripped apart by people who thought I threw a glass on someone's face to start a fight. And you went on chat room and told everyone that I was suing her for the down payment of my house, which was hurtful to me because I didn't know you and you didn't know me either.
And Marisol covers her face with her fan, saying, oh, God, well, this didn't last long. I didn't even eat one pepperoni, for fuck's sake. And Candace is like, that was very hurtful. I didn't know you. You didn't know me. And then we see the clip of what Portia said, which is Monique actually said that she believed that Candace was suing her to get the payment on her mother's house. And that's different because
that's
very different because Portia is saying Monique said it. Portia isn't saying yeah. she believed it. She said she's friends with Monique, and Monique is the one who said it. So why are you twisting things around, Candace? Not that I'm surprised, yeah. but come on now. And you're also the one bringing up this stupid fight on national TV again. If you're so fucking traumatized about it, why don't you just let it go, okay? You already won last season. She totally won this last season she was on.
She won.
She's in everybody's good graces. Why?
And on top of that, like, no one I guarantee most people do not know or remember what Portia said on Bravo chat room 2 years ago. If, like, Candace is the one who is amplifying this comment right now.
Yes.
No one knows and no one cares. It's people are just saying stuff, you know? They're just saying stuff. Just the way that Candace will often say some nasty or shady thing on Potomac, you know? It's like sometimes you just say things, you know? So she's now trying to hold Portia to this. And Portia's giving her this look like, seriously? She's like, I was just there for a friend who was calling me and like, obviously, you know, I've been in altercations on my show and, you know, we've had a conversation about like we were having a conversation about how to navigate the issue.
And Candace says, well, that was messy and defamatory. And she's like, it's not defamatory if she's telling me her facts, though. And yeah, she just said she believed this. You know, it's like stating a belief, not a fact. Like she literally mm-hmm. said she believed. So Candace is like, but those are not facts. And Whitney's like, Candace, you were upset because, like, I feel like you feel like it was unfair because you honored your contract and then she got a platform to speak on it. And she's like, she built herself a platform. And Giselle's sort of saying that, like, Candace didn't get to go on this chat room and defend herself.
Right.
But Monique got through Portia, got to defend herself, which I think is a somewhat fair comment.
It's 100% not. It's ridiculous. She's going to complain that Monique got a quote unquote platform because Portia read one statement on Bravo chat room. Who is still employed by Bravo? Candace has been on the show for 2 or 3 years. She is literally using an active platform right now. And she's going to complain that she didn't get to have one sentence on Bravo chat room when Giselle was still defending her. Okay, so I kind of feel like that's kind of like, it's like, I understand the logic, like what she thinks is logic, but like, you can't complain that you have been deprived of a platform when you're not the one who is stuck in the wasteland of we or wherever Monique is. And I'm not saying this in defense of Monique. I'm just saying like, you're acting like you have no platform when you are literally currently on Bravo and Peacock. like, come on now.
Still bringing up Monique. You know, when she's not on the same.
Yeah. So like you're right. You have such a bigger platform.
So Giselle's like, speaking of platforms, I use that platform to defend you, Candace, in the same moment. And we see a clip of Giselle arguing with Portia going, no. That is not what happened at all. And Candace says, yeah, but she was given an opportunity to make a statement. And I was not. I was not asked to give a statement. And Giselle's like, Candace, I was there. You knew my opinion. And she's like, well, that's not the same. And that was not my statement. Okay, so now you're mad at the bookers. Are you mad at the bookers for not booking you? Because this is not Portia and Giselle. And they didn't book Monique either. So
I think she's upset because Portia is like, quote unquote, the cool one. Portia's like still like everyone pretty much loves Portia, you know. Portia has some detractors, but like everyone loves Portia. She's like a cool Bravo celebrity, and she's like the cool girl at school. And she basically chose Monique in that moment. And Candace is like that probably massively triggered all sorts of things from Candace's life. Like Candace wants to be the cool girl, and she wants to be in with the cool girls. And you know, it's like basically like. Mom was defending Candace, aka Giselle, and Portia, the cool girl, was defending Monique, and Candace was upset by that. I think that's ultimately what it comes down to.
So Giselle's mad because she says, I defended her. You know, this is the first time me and Portia didn't agree on chat room, and I defend her in the 7-Eleven when people walk up and say, Candace ain't shit. I defended her in the Whole Foods. I defended her all the time. I love that she's going so high-low in her her diary room. She's like, I'm in Whole Foods. From the Whole Foods to the 7-Elevens. There I've been. With the common man and the organic, loving, gluten-free creature. I've been there for all, defending Candace.
I know. Every store. So Candace is like, I can be grateful that you spoke for me and still wish I had the opportunity to speak for myself. I'm like, you are literally doing it right now. Like, are you really getting so upset like that you... I mean, I can understand in the moment there that you're watching Bravo chat room and it sucks that Monique is saying this wild thing about you. It's being repeated on chat room and you're just sitting there and you don't have anything to say. But that was 2 years ago and you've had such a bigger platform and your life has gone... It's like has ascended. Your life has gone so much better since that moment. You have a song that actually everyone really loves. You know, you're doing well. You did a thing with Trina. You had a season where you're killing it, like you just said, Ronnie. And, you know, it's all gone in your favor. And you're still like, but I didn't get to say something in response to that Bravo chat room thing that no one watched.
So Portia says the only reason she was going so hard for Candace on the show was because Giselle was giving her so much shit about Candace. And she's like, as hard as Candace is going on me, it's like she's not even realizing that Giselle had her back. And then we see Candace says she texted you a statement. And she goes, but it's still hearsay because it's not first person.
Portia's like proudly saying, no, I said hearsay. It's okay. It's okay. She's like proudly declaring that she repeated hearsay on the air. So Candace goes, Howard University, John A. Johnson School of Communications, news degree, end of story. Portia's like, you can have the degree, but I have the journalism job and I can use my mouth and talk about things.
Okay. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Both of you. Congratulations on your degree. That's fucking amazing. I don't even have one. Okay, so I can't imagine having two. That's amazing. Not taking anything away from that. You're still not a journalist. Okay, you're not a journalist till you're a journalist. Portia, you're not a fucking journalist. You work for some morning show. Shut up.
Dish Nation, right?
Yes, that's not. Come on, both of you.
I know. Well, it was a bizarre thing. So Candace's like, we can move on. And she goes, it's interesting to see Portia defending her foolishness instead of just apologizing to me. She hasn't learned from the first time that she repeated things that she knew weren't true. And it's still hurtful. She's doubling down on being a bully once again. She's not. She literally just, she read what she thought, what Monique texted her. She was saying, this is where Monique's head is at.
And there's nothing to apologize for. A fucking victim again. Just like the old, just come back. It's all victim. Wah, wah, wah. Cry, cry, cry. Fold a new shape to cry your tears into. Give me a break with that.
Well, Marisol has the best take. She goes, guys, I mean, it's just a fluff opinion show. It's not an investigative report.
And Giselle's like, whoa, she said it's a fluff opinion show. And Portia goes, wow, thank you or fuck you. Like, guys, it was recorded on Zoom. Can we stop? Yeah,
but this is not 60 minutes, okay? It's not even 60 seconds.
Oh, my God. So now it's time to play games. Portia's like, this is stupid. Let's play games. So we're going to get you into the Thai spirit, okay? So Portia's like, okay, we have a theme here, so we'll make you all cities. I'm going to call... Wait, what'd she say? We'll go with... coming up with nicknames for teams, right?
Yeah, so there's going to be, like, there's the Potomac duo, there's the Miami duo, there's the Utah duo.
Oh, I see.
But since Portia and Leah are, like, without cities, like, they don't have a duo, they're going to combine. Portia's like, we're going to combine it, our names, Portia and Leah, to become Poor Leah. And Leah's like... Portia has like a thing with me. Like, I don't know what it is. Like, I'm the girl with the least amount of seasons under my belt. Like, I have one from New York with me. I have like no one from New York with me. And I'm like an easy target. So, yeah, like, poor Leah.
And so,
which is true. That's how Leah acts.
Yeah. And so they're going to play a tie game similar to volleyball, but they're going to do it in elephant suits. So it's like a wacky game time. And I just wrote no notes, all in caps. So that
no
was
notes.
Fun.
I wrote. You know what I wrote? I wrote, I would be livid. It looked so humid. All they do is complain about how humid it is. And they're in this hot, humid backyard putting on plastic inflatable elephant things that are not breathable. I would be like, no, I am not doing this to volleyball again.
And then they have an eating competition next. Are you fucking kidding me? Who came up with these? This is torture. These are Real Housewives.
Yeah, this is again, cutting the fat. They have to basically the eating competition, and then we get through that, and then we get to they have to do those stupid competitions to make this third one be somewhat tolerable, because it's just like another played out truth or dare, except this one is you either speak the truth or you have to eat part of a scorpion.
And these are the biggest scorpions I've ever seen. They're like little dogs. I've never seen a scorpion that big. Are those real? That's crazy.
Yeah, they're real. They serve those. They serve those in Thailand. And I when I went to Thailand, I wanted to try one, but I had to go to a wedding and I was afraid of things not sitting well with my stomach. I was like, basically, like, I wanted to be able to party at the wedding. And if I got some sort of crazy, like,
you die, bro. You die, as Mary Soul says.
You would die. So, I just didn't want to have to go on to some medication for food poisoning and not drink at the wedding, which is dumb because in retrospect, I'd rather not drink at a wedding and be like, hey, I ate a scorpion. Priorities.
Yeah. So if they don't answer the question, they have to eat the scorpion. That's the game. So Portia has Alexia rank her husbands, which, you know, obviously she wants to fuck Todd the most, the pedo Pedro second, and her non-third. So then fuck, marry, kill Monique. That one's for Candace. And Candace is like, I would bang her to death.
By the way, that's not how you play fuck, marry, kill, but we'll let it pass. You don't say, here's one person and which of these three options would you like to do?
Listen, Candace didn't start crying, so I say hand her a fucking medal.
Yeah, that's true too. Portia then is like,
Giselle, which woman here would you like? Would you say makes the least on OnlyFans?
So Giselle's like, well, I would say Marisol, only because I don't think that you would understand it. Marisol's like, what? No, I have really cute toes. And we all know OnlyFans is a place where you sever your toes and sell them on a marketplace, right?
So now Leah is asked which of the New York housewives should not be asked to come back. And she eats a scorpion instead of answering, because I don't want to be negative. So let me just eat it. So she does, and Marisol's like, by the way, that's a big deal. I mean, that's a big deal, because she's very picky with her food. She's a vegan or a Jew or something.
Yeah, she's like vegan or kosher. I'm like, not really the same, but okay. So Leah's like, she's like, I don't do casting, and I don't do firing, and I don't do hiring. I don't do any of it, because I don't follow, okay? I'm independent. I wear patchouli now.
And Candace says, yeah, me neither. I think Portia should go. So Portia asks Whitney three times. Heather lied on camera, and they all woo. And Heather's like, go ahead. I want to hear it. I really want to hear it. Bring it on. And Whitney goes, what is between Heather and I? I want to talk to her. I don't want to be messy no more, girls. Oh, no.
I was like, what was that?
And Whitney tries to get all... She's around not solid, like not only white people anymore. And it's so embarrassing. Oh, my God.
I know.
I feel like we've all got that
I don't
friend.
Want no scrubs.
Yeah, I feel like
Scrub
we all
is
have
a guy
that
can't
friend
talk
who does
to
that
me.
Around black people. That's just like, even if it's... Even if it's just like the least like stereotypical thing you could do, like, guys, I don't want to do that no more, girl. I believe children are our future, sister.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
So embarrassing.
It does happen a lot. I know.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
So then Whitney, so she eats a scorpion instead. She's like, eating this scorpion is me showing Heather I am still trying to be her friend. Girlfriend. Sorry, I thought Portia was nearby. So then Heather tells us, you have had every opportunity to say all the times I've lied, and you've not been able to come up with one imaginary lie. Like, pick a lane, be a villain, be a friend, but be real.
So Portia's like, okay, Heather, who gave you the black eye? Flat out. And then there's a long pause and dramatic music, and Heather takes the scorpion.
Oh, gosh. Oh, God, this black eye. This black eye is going to be the thing that is going to take Heather down. Heather was beloved, and this black eye thing has got people so angry and annoyed. And the fact that, like, it has resurfaced again on this show, it's like they just will not, this will never go away.
Yep.
So Portia's like,
well, you know what's so funny? She said you didn't know, but no, you must know, because you're eating the scorpion.
Oh, we know she knows. But she thinks Jen did it. And Whitney goes, I do. I think she's protecting Jen. She's protecting Jen. And Heather's like, oh, yeah, Whitney just knows. I went to Jen's room and said, Jen, I'm the informant. And then Jen said, oh, hell no. She just bopped me.
Yeah.
Well, I think that Jen has something over Heather. That's why Heather's edges are like, you know, like not good edges, you know? Ha! Huh. So that's what I think. Or like attracts like.
So Portia's like, okay, Marisol, who do you trust the least? We'll do Marisol style game. Who do you trust the least? And she's like, well, that's easy. You, Leah, because you've thrown me under the bus 3 times already. You know, like things at dinner, you saying I drink too much. I mean, that's so hypocritical. You used to drink too much. That's my answer. That's a fucked up thing to say.
It is fucked up, but I sort of enjoyed its awkward, the way it sort of awkwardly tumbled out of her mouth. Like it's like a surprisingly, like, really sharp response. But like Marisol's like, well, I guess, is that me reading you? I guess, I don't know. That's what you do on OnlyFans.
So then Giselle is like, Portia, give some applause. This has been a lot. So now it's time for Mardi Gras. You have 45 minutes to get ready. And they're like, oh my God.
Oh, God, this is like an obstacle course. They do have very small windows to get ready on this show.
Well, it's also been nonstop. It's like from the elephant to the eating competition to this question answering game and now to Mardi Gras.
I know. So Marisol's like, oh, I need to wash my hair. Lexi's like, Marisol, there's no time for that. Like, wash it tomorrow morning. There's no time. Come on, like, we have to do this. So they're back in the room and the room is like messy, and Alexa's like, oh my God, Marisol, they haven't done anything, not even the bed. Oh my God, I can't even with this mess. I mean, please, we need to call housekeeping. Oh, well, you know, housekeeping, we need to call housekeeping.
It's like, well, that's not Pepsi's job, you know. Yeah, we love Pepsi, it's not his job. Get housekeeping, call the equipo. And she's like, I told Pepsi to do it, call the equipo. And she's like, oh my God, I've always been really good with Marisol on trips, but this is a lot. I gotta sleep with you, I wake up with you, you snore, like, I need a break.
So Marisol's like, this has been a long experience. It's tight quarters, and I'm not feeling well. I got maybe an ulcer, you know? So then we hear Trixie Monocle singing a song where she goes, where all my queens be? Yas, girl. Don't this crowd look so good on me? Yas, girl.
So they drive to another backyard. This show. So they go to like some other backyard that's set up kind of Mardi Gras-ish. And they're all wearing their Mardi Gras outfits, including a mask. And Whitney goes, the masks are off tonight. It's a good one, as you put on a mask. It's a fucking like you literally mask are just event, putting on masks. Ding dong.
The masks are coming on tonight. So Alexa's like, come on, Miami. And Marisol's like, why do they keep calling us Miami? Alexa's like, because we're from Miami.
Yeah, but I also have a name. Okay, Trunky, let's go. Let's go, not washed hair. So then...
come on, ulcer.
Giselle tells everybody that the Creole Queen is coming out, and they're here to celebrate her history. And in the vans, let's see, Portia, Giselle, Alexia, and Marisol are in one. And Portia's like, I feel like one person has it out for two people the whole trip, and that is Candy. Watch. When we go at her at the same time, she cries that we're bullying her. But then she's in her room talking about having anxiety because she doesn't know us.
Well, I realize nothing is ever good enough for her. Rah. It wasn't good enough that I rode before you and held you down. I made sure I had your back. Even with the Chris situation, it's not good enough that I told you plain and simple what happened. That's not good enough. It's all, oh, you brought in front of the cameras.
So Giselle used Candace as a weapon against Monique, who she always hated, and then came for her with Chris. Like, this rewrite of history from Giselle is so crazy. Giselle, you used her when you needed her, and then you dumped her and accused her husband of all kinds of shit when you didn't need her anymore. You are the bad guy. You are the bad guy.
Yeah, but to be fair... all she said was like, by the way, Chris made me feel uncomfortable. It was actually what was worse was later on when she was joking with Robin and she was like, I don't know, maybe he wanted to get in my pants or something.
I was not joking either. No, she said at first he made her uncomfortable. And then she said, and I know married men and I know when they're just trying to see if you're down. And he was trying to see if I'm down.
Yeah, that's where she went wrong.
Yeah. So, yeah, she did accuse him of doing some shitty stuff. So stop acting like so innocent, Giselle, okay? Stop acting like so innocent, like Giselle, okay? You are the bad
poor, So Portia's like,
so you're trying to say, so you're saying Giselle is trying to ruin your family by telling you she's uncomfortable. No, you're trying to ruin Giselle by saying she's trying to make an accusation that's sexual. Don't harm me for no reason.
So now it's flipped that Candace is actually the one who is really the more like she is the aggressor in the situation.
And it's doubly bad because Portia doesn't even know the situation. The season hasn't aired yet. So she just likes Giselle better. So she's going to go with whatever Giselle says, you know? And she's like, oh my God, that's so damaging that she's accusing you of accusing somebody of sexual something when she's accusing you of accusing them. That's terrible. And Giselle's like
she said that on camera. It's like, but you then... You said what you said on camera. It's like
she says that she said the reason people who have been sexually assaulted don't come forward, I'm the reason. And she said it on camera. And she's insinuating that I'm lying. But you admitted later that you shouldn't have said that. So you kind of admitted to lying later about that part of it. So
it's not like a high point for either one of these women. So they all arrive at this luxury hotel and they're getting they've got bees, there's hurricanes and stuff. And there's non-alcoholic hurricane for Leah. So they go to the table and they sit down. There's all this food, a lot of Thai Orleans food. So Giselle talks about she's talking about growing up in New Orleans, and she spent her summers there with her grandmother, and talks about the Zulu parade, which is part of Mardi Gras, the all black parade, and that people in that house wear blackface because it's basically saying hey, we're here. And then they start talking about the king cake. It's basically a little Mardi Gras moment. And then it starts to rain, so they all have to take out their umbrellas.
Yeah, this makes a big burp at the table. And Heather goes, yeah. Whoa, that was not me, everybody. And in Spanish, Marisol's like, oh, my God, that woman just burped at the table. And Alexi's like, oh, my God, this is horrific. And Marisol goes, I would die. And look at her. She's laughing over there.
I loved that judgy moment from both of them. That cracked me up. So now they go inside because it's really raining hard. And so Giselle's teaching everyone how to do a second line. And she's like, yes, when you're a host, when things don't go your way, you have to learn to improvise. So I'm going to show these women how to do a second line and freeze. That was improvising.
So they do that. And then she explains her podcast is Reasonably Shady. And now they're going to play Reasonably Shady with the paddles and all. So she goes first and she's like, is it reasonable or shady to be extremely sick and still spend time with the group? Leah. And everyone's like, reasonable. And Portia goes, yeah, but how could that even be shady, though? I don't get it. She goes, well, maybe if she wasn't being talkative or good with the group. I mean, I didn't feel that way. It could just be. Oh, they're talking about Marisol. She goes, it could be perceived that way. And Marisol's like, whatever, I rallied. Fuck off.
It was not a great opening question, I'm going to say that much. It was not a great great scenario to really get to the root of something or start to stir the pot. So she's like, okay, new question. Is it reasonable or is it shady to take credit for another franchise's success, especially when your show was canceled? And everyone's like, shady.
And Alexi's like, oh, okay, I know that was for me. The situation is shady. Okay, look, first of all, I was not trying to take credit. I was saying that Miami was there before Potomac and Salt Lake City, which it was, you know. And our show back then had a lot of diversity, okay? We were speaking Spanish. We had a transgender that participated. We had a drag queen. That we had close-ups of frogs sometimes on trees. We had
there was
so
a
many
dentist.
Different things. Yes, there was a dentist on
we had
there.
A dentist.
Yeah.
We had someone who then was on Food Network Star, so that's very diverse, you know. We had a lady who is in a movie with Rob Gronkowski. So that's very diverse, you know? We were sort of trailblazers.
And Giselle's like, well, I will admit that the word paved struck a nerve with me. It's just, okay, I didn't use the word paved because that's not even on my vocabulary. What is this? What is paved?
Yeah, when I'm on a highway, I'm like, oh, look at this not gravel road. I wish I had a name to describe it, you know?
And she goes, but you did say that. She's like, maybe Marisol said it and you interpreted it because that's more Marisol words than mine. But I stand by it. I stand by it, aimed or not.
Throwing Marisol under the paved bus. So Alexia's like, I mean, there's never been a franchise in the history of Bravo that's made a comeback after 8 years. I mean, as a matter of fact, I say it is even more significant because last time I looked, Gallery Girls, still off the air. Sorry.
So now, is it reasonable to call someone a bully when they're not being a bully? Portia's like, shady, shady, shady. And Candace goes, it is reasonable, and I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why you were being bullies.
Giselle's like, who's you all are? And Candace is like, Shady One and Shady Two. And she's like, the way that you decided to address Leah. And Portia's like, well, you called for an audience. So if you call for an audience, you can't turn it down. And Leah's like, you were a bully. You were a bully.
I was like, bullied, Leah.
Not really. Like, literally not really. Again, this is another example of people really distorting what bullying is. I mean, in my mind, bullying is like excessive taunting, going out of their way to taunt someone, being like relentless, not letting someone have like their own space. And, you know, just like making their lives hell to the point where some people literally take their own lives over it. So if someone is like, you know, saying, hey, that was like rude of you last night to say that it was that like dinner was boring. I'm sorry, that's not bullying. That's just not bullying.
So Portia's like, well, if I make my own statement, it's not bullying. And Candace goes, why are you so triggered by that word? Because you're using victim language to fucking accuse somebody of something instead of just having a regular fucking argument. You're using a word bullying that you know is going to take somebody down so you can get the audience turned against them so you don't have to fucking do the fighting, Candace, okay? That's why.
Yeah.
And she's like, because it's a nasty word. And she's like, you know, if Candace weren't... If Candace weren't trying to argue with me and Giselle, she wouldn't be taking it for Leah. You know, she's just like using Leah. And so Candace is like, you were being shady bullies. And Leah's like, yeah, and I'm being bullied and I'm not a bully. Okay.
Yeah, moms. So then Giselle's like, so, okay, is it reasonable or shady to show your entire ass cheek when it's twice the size of everyone else's ass cheek?
Portia's like, oh, that's reasonable.
Yeah. Giselle's like, yeah, it's shady because it made me feel like my ass is small. So then, is it reasonable or shady to give a book title that you don't believe in?
And Heather shrugs. She goes, I guess shady, like, who cares? And Lee goes, well, I mean, we're not saying that anybody did that. And Candace says, if you don't believe that, then it would be bad. But I don't think you did do it, so it's fine. And Heather goes, just read the book and find out. And Wendy's like, hey. Yesterday was crazy. Yesterday was a lot. I actually want to give Heather the platform and ask her, where are you at in your healing journey leaving the church? Because it's been inconsistent.
Well, it's been a non-issue. It is an issue. It sounds like a piece of paper to all of you, but what Heather and I are walking away from is our entire heritage. We were born from paper people. We are walking away from paper. Don't you understand? This is an issue for us. Magazines are issues, and magazines are made of paper.
You just see Whitney walking away from, like, saltine boxes burning in the background. Like, okay, Whitney. And Alexi's like, listen, sometimes you didn't sign a paper, but you walked away from your marriage a long time ago. Okay, so that's what I think about paper. And Heather's like, thank you. Oh, my God. Mormonism is like marriage. It's just to God, you know? And Alexi's like, oh, I totally get you. And Whitney goes, wait, can I finish? Can I finish? Candace is like, oh my God, it's been 4 days listening to these girls cry about church.
Marisol's like, I don't even know what the fuck this list is anymore. So Whitney's like,
you are on a path and I'm on a different path for the same end goal. It's like when we got to Villa I and it took me 3 more hours to go up the driveway than you did. We wanted to go to the same place. But I got lost along the way. And I want you to get there. And I support you in that. And I want to be able to stand by you and celebrate the moment when you decide to sign that paper and fill what it fills. Like to say, no more. I'm done. I am free.
Whitney's like having her big speech moment, and Giselle just dings the glass as she goes, okay, we're moving on now.
I know. Okay, this is boring for me.
Jesus, how much can we take of this shit? And so she's like, so is it shady or reasonable to play reasonably shady? And they're like, shady, ha ha, shady. Can we eat the cake now? So that- God's sake, please.
So they go to eat the king cake and they can't find the baby. So either someone swallowed the baby without realizing Whitney, or the baby was never in there. So there's no baby in the king cake.
And Marisol's like, the cake sounds like my uterus. There's never going to be a baby in there. It's like, oh my God.
I was like, okay, I'm seeing why you're drinking now.
It's just misfiring today.
I'm hilarious, aren't I? So, now they go back. Now they're back in the vans. And Heather's like, Whitney, can you just... Okay, we're family. Can we just give each other grace? This was a total independent thought that I had. I did not take this from Portia. Let's just have 40 minutes. We're just not talking about bullshit. And Whitney's like, it's not bullshit. Paper's scary. We're walking away from paper. No, I'm not diminishing it. Can we table it? Can we just do that for 40 minutes? Thanks.
So Portia, Giselle are with the Miami girls in their van. And Portia's like... Every time we go somewhere, they talk about it. I just don't work like that. When I tell you, you hit a nerve in me, I can't be next to you. How are they even on the same bus like that? And Giselle's like, listen, that wouldn't be me. One of you all would be moving to the other bus.
I mean, what are they even talking about on that other bus?
Cut to Leah going. You like anal? You like anal?
Anal, yeah. Heather's like, I've never experienced it. And Whitney's like, I don't ever recommend doing it unless you use chocolate syrup as lube. And Candace is like, it hurts. And I had a little dick when I tried it. It hurt.
So now Whitney is in the diary room with a mask on. And she's like, click, turn on machine. Hey, Malexi, turn on machine. I just want to clarify one thing. The three lies Heather has told on camera. Just in case you guys don't have music to add. She knows how she got the black eye. One, she was never friends with Lisa Barlow. Two, and she never left the Mormon church. Three, so the masks are going to come off. Four, and we're going to get to the bottom of the lies. Seven.
I feel like I only heard one lie in there, but that's fine. So that was the end. That was the cliffhanger.
That brings us to the end of Ultimate Girls Trip, everybody. We will be back later to talk about Summer Housen, okay? In the meantime, go get tickets for live shows over at watchwhatcrappens.com. We sure love you guys.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney. Christy Wowerty Dowerty.
Dana C, Dana Do. She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Itchels. Aaron McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Ava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
You're never alone with Lacey Monteleone.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino. Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg. Sarah Greenwood, she only uses her power for good. Can't stop fanning over Tina Manning.
The Bay Area Betches, Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Better do what she says, it's Elva Enriquez. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides. Undo your fasteners, it's Erin Kastner.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
We will, Joanna Rockland you. My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo. We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Shadley.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender. She's a good hobby, it's Lauren Hobgood. We want to hang with Liz Lang. The incredible edible Matthews sisters. Nancy Cease and Desisto.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony. Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Couture.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Watch What Crappens ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or You can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.